The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door, and it's time to open.
I hear it. I can hear it opening. You are listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues on Life Today in America, brought to you by Key Media, Bragg.com with two G's, Happily200.com, The Koning Company, DrVal.com, and Doctors all spelled out, and RandyShannon.com, and that's Randy with an I and two N's. So, Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that's changing the world, and I am going to keep that in the script forever because I love it. Bob Sercosta is one of the most inventive human beings I've ever met in my life, and a true charm. He's probably a billionaire by now, so when Bob speaks, I love it. I happen to hear animals beeping around or birds. I remember hearing birds once when Randy had some in the bathroom. A dog barking or an angel singing. We call in from our homes and offices all over the place to actually cause this program. Now, in Aramaic, to go out and get that which is yours is actually what the word prayer means. It does not mean throw yourself to the ground and beg somebody or God or somebody else for something. You just go and you get that which is yours. So you always want to include a prayer for the celebration of the Republic. It's returning, and we want to ask your respect for our animal friends as well as each other in our communities. And right now, I'm really focusing on community action and what's happening in the communities. We had an election for school board here last week, and I got so upset with it that I threw the ads of this one guy out, because the first ad that he sent me for the school board sounded like he was an intelligent man. I researched him. The mayor was behind him, and he sounded really good, okay? The second ad that he sent out, if he stayed with the first one, he would have had my vote. The second ad that came out, he was now saying that he was going to prevent Trump from taking over the L.A. County schools. Well, Trump has
taken over
the L.A. County schools. The guy was just starting to get nasty. Then the third thing he sends out is, and by the way, it's stupid to do that, because by doing that, he alienated at least 50% of the voters who had voted for Trump. So whoever this campaign manager was, I was beginning to look like this guy might not be as smart as I thought he was. So the coup de grace for me, and by the way, I vote in every election. I don't vote for all the offices, just like this time. This time, I didn't have enough research on the other person, and I had some suspicions about them. But after what he had done, I believed that if he had been approving of these cards that were being sent out in the mail, that I didn't like this guy at all, that he was being manipulative. And then the third one arrives, and this one says something to the effect, actually was going through the trash looking for them this morning. I couldn't find them. I had thrown them out. I was so annoyed with the whole process. It said, you're an infrequent voter. And what is going to happen to you when people look up in the voting records and see that you didn't vote for the Board of Education, and you're a role model, and the children will be looking up to you, and what kind of a role model are you? Well, that did it. That just did it. So I think the guy won the election anyway. I have no care about anything that he did. But one of the coolest things that happened during this whole process was that I met my neighbor, Sarah, And I met my one of my other neighbors, Lauren, and we actually communicate through something called Next Door Neighborhood when we're giving away stuff or we want plumbers or whatever it is that we want. And I had actually helped Lauren out with an issue about two little kitties that got lost, and I helped raise money to get a bloodhound to go looking for the cats. So Lauren and I met for the first time. And then another really incredible yoga teacher came over, and we started talking about how do you know who to vote for, and does this is this man demonstrating his character? With the first ad that he sent out, he just sounded like the perfect guy for the job. By the time he got done smashing Trump and insulting voters, he looked like the worst person for the job. So I started really thinking about who we are and how we represent ourselves. And if we want to elevate ourselves in the world by insulting people and smashing other people, we've missed something really big. And I didn't vote for him. I just didn't vote. He would have had my vote had he not continued. And you want to start taking a look, and I'm taking a look in my life at what quality of human being do I want around. And for a long time now, Randy's been selling her house in Florida, and she finally got it sold, apparently. And then she ran into how corrupt the realtor was. You want to comment on that, Randy?
Yeah, I mean, this guy withheld offers, countless, don't have a number on it yet, and so I'm filing a complaint because he had something going on with the backyard deal, I guess, and we're going to figure it out, but I've now taken a backup, and I'm excited. So,
yeah,
moving forward.
And she's not going to let this guy get away with it, okay? This is what when I threw the trash in a way, I was letting this guy get away with it. What he had done as far as I was concerned. He had totally represented himself as the kind of person I want nothing to do with. Okay? So
yeah,
I had thrown them. I was originally going to write letters and all kinds of things like that, but as a wise friend told me once, sometimes you have to pick your fights. So I decided I would mention him on the radio this morning. That I'm not necessarily going to name him, but I want you to start paying attention at what comes to you in the mail, what comes to you in offers, what things tease your interest. Is it built on slamming others? Now, some people, they get afraid then, and they get afraid to actually save themselves or to speak for themselves, okay? So if somebody is unjustly attacking you about something, don't take that on. Randy, tell them about the little girl. Ron sent an email yesterday with a little 9 or 10-year-old girl, and it's called Trump Girl.
She's like 9 years old, wowing the world. Trump's probably greatest supporter in that age range. And this girl can make a case of why he's the one that should be the president of this country. And she even told her mom to vote for him.
And then her mother did, and then she says, I forgave her.
Yeah, but she did say it was a big mistake on her mom's part, but now she's got it right, or had it right. And,
yeah.
What was neat about the girl is she knew exactly what she wanted in life. She listed off about 25 careers of what she plans on accomplishing, which is neat because, look, it's not about just growing up and necessarily doing one thing unless that's for you. It's about being all you can be. Accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. The little
and
girl
she wants
was totally
to go to
inspiration.
Then she's going to be an attorney, and then at the end she'd like to be a judge. And I'll tell you something, if that kid's judge in my lifetime, I'll vote for her. She's absolutely totally amazing, and she isn't about putting Hillary Clinton down or anybody else down. She is about what she believes and why she believes it and how it's true, and she's got the authority. She's got an authority you'll pay attention to. If you want to find this, go to my Twitter feed at Val Kirkgaard 1, and that's Kirkgaard with two A's. You're going to love this kid. And I thank you, Ron. It was my favorite forward in absolutely ages because she wants to be president. I forgot. How could I forget that?
She mentioned that, but what was funny is Val, she went through her whole lifetime of a career, and then she talked about, and when I retire, I'll be a judge. And then she met the Supreme Court.
But then she said, just like Donald Trump, she said, if I'm needed to be president. And I had watched the earlier Trump tapes, you know, like when he was like 22 and 25. And they kept asking him, over time if he would be president. And he'd say if it was needed, you know, that he really didn't want to do it. It wasn't his thing, but if America needed him, he would do it. So she's just like a cut out of him. And I just, she set the whole tone for me because she did it on it at one time, put down anything else. She just said, as you said, Randy, what she stood for.
And exactly. Her,
oh, and then I loved it because they also asked her if she, let's see, how did she, did kids at school give her a bad time? And she said yes, but she didn't let that get to her.
And she was nine. So definitely go to Val's Twitter feed, Val Kirkgaard 1. It was totally worth watching.
Yeah, it's totally there. And thanks. I've got friends, okay. And Ron Hayes is one of the big ones. So Ron sends me the bulk of stuff. But I get stuff from Laura Marie in Mexico. And I get stuff from different parts of the United States. And some of this stuff is just absolutely magnificent. And I'm going to give you a little tidbit. I usually wait to do this drama towards the end of the show, but I'm getting information that those of you who are Zimbabwe owners, you should be working. You'll get more money when you actually ask for your dreams, because everybody that listens to this program, you know, we're billed as intelligent radio, okay? So everybody that's listening to this program must be intelligent, or they wouldn't be listening to intelligent radio. And intelligent people also have dreams, and they have passions. And this is the time. Everybody I know that I've talked to that's been a listener on Waking Up in America has had something bigger that they wanted to create. The Zimbabwe currency, guys, that's actually created as a way to transform the earth, literally. When I originally heard about it, it was supposed to, they're going to lop off 6 zeros and things like that. I've got a $100 trillion note, and I hope you do too. I hope everybody that's listening has a $100 trillion note. And those notes will actually go into trust funds and things of that nature to take care of life, okay? And you'll get a certain percentage a year off that trust fund. But that trust fund, here is what's so cool about it, where somebody might get a dollar per thing for their note or 15 cents per Zim dollar, if you have humanitarian projects, if you look at your community right now and you see something that's needed, like in my community what's needed is a pathway across the freeway so that our mountain lions don't get killed. I'm almost crying about it. We've lost three cubs, three mountain lion cubs in the last few months.
Oh, no.
And it breaks my heart, and it can all be solved by creating a bridge that goes over the freeway. So that's part of my list of what's going to happen with the community. Okay, there are cell phone towers and things around here that are actually interfering with our health, and there are different ways of handling it. And that's where part of my money is going to be going. You want to take a look at the community that you're living in. You want to, whether you have to cash in beer bottles or whatever you have to do, get yourself enough money and get one of those dollars, the Zimbabwe $100 trillion notes. This may be the last week you can get it because I'm hearing some good news on it. But go over to eBay and get that for yourself. And at first I was nervous about people that hadn't handled money having so much money. And what I discovered was is that there would be bankers to help you. Not just bankers, but attorneys and trust fund people and all kinds of people, because the money coming from this thing is extraordinary, and it's designed for light workers. It's designed for people of commitment that want to make the planet greater and recover us from all the damage that's happened. A couple of friends and I want to clean up that trash in the Pacific Ocean that's the size of Texas. So every one of us is going to have a different thing that we want to do. My friend Lisa Molson, she'll probably do something for her Indian tribe in that community and schools and things of that nature. I personally, and I don't know about you, Randy, you got four boys, and Paul, I'm about your children. But what I want to do is make sure that your kids are a bit older for this, Randy, but I want to make sure that music and art and physical education are back, and cooking and building things, that they're back in the schools again.
Absolutely, because they graduate and don't have a clue on how to do anything, and they're just, like, I just remember when my kids were younger and I put them in you know, individual lessons. I would get up at 6 a.m. to get my kids to individual lessons because these things were outside of the school as opposed to inside, which was really unfortunate. And I really invested in my kids and then ultimately ended up pulling most of them out and homeschooled them to get them a broader education. They graduate, they don't know how to run a checkbook, they don't know a thing about the IRS, but yet the IRS is in your life every day.
Yeah, totally.
And they don't know how to use a hammer and a nail and a screwdriver. They don't have the first clue on how to fix a running toilet or change oil. What happened to these things? These are basics of life.
We had them in school, and I'll tell you something I had in school that I don't know if we'll ever see again. I was the star of the rifle club. I had a 20. We all had our rifles, and we got to be really good shots, and that was in junior high school. They'd be afraid we were going to take out the school or something now. Paul, you're being, do you have children, Paul?
Oh, I'm on. I'm just fascinated by the conversation and listening.
I'm just saying, I don't know if you have ever asked you.
You mean my thoughts about the situation?
No, I mean, do you, Paul, have children of your own?
I have three of my own, actually. My son just came back from 2.5 years in Shanghai. And then I have two daughters, one in Georgia and one in Arizona. And when I add them all up, the grandkids come to a total.
What are you thinking about education as we're talking about that?
Well, you know, I have mixed emotions about education. My own background was, let's put it this way, monasterial. You know, I grew up in France in private boys' schools run by the Catholics, Catholic Church. So Franciscan monks, Jesuits, the very intense education. So when I came to the United States and saw how mediocre the educational system was to which my children were being subjected, as the phrase goes, I freaked out. Totally freaked out.
What would that have been?
Wasn't able to do very much about it, but ultimately, Paul and Susie went to USC and Yvette to UC Irvine and Berkeley. So, you know, they ended up fine. But the fly in the ointment is that because of the huge expense of having three in those universities at the same time, they had to work. And my daughter Susan became a substitute teacher. And even though she had a wonderful career as a concert pianist, she chose to become a teacher. And so she's now homeschooling the children in Atlanta.
Here's what we could do. One of the things, somebody in Georgia, a couple people in Georgia, go buy some notes. If you can't, if you really are up against the wall, I really think this could be the last few days that you could do it. Pick up a billion-dollar note, something of that nature. They're going to come in at sums that you can't even conceive of. Just play along with me because they're cheap. But set up your programs. So we want shop. We want woodcraft in our school. We want cooking. We want, I say, guns. I think it's a really good idea to how to use a gun. I'm very glad that I do. I've only shot them on the rifle range since then. But it's a different thing in the world when you know that you know how to use one properly. They stop being so scary to you.
You can't be right. No, knowledge is power.
Yeah, you can't be so easily manipulated. You don't have to go around with a submachine gun or any of that stuff. But with a lot of what's happening politically in the country, it looks like a lot of our criminals are being stuck back down, outside of the country, and that's a good thing. The point being here that we have to be the change, and if we can remember what quality was like, if you've ever taken the eighth grade teacher from the eighth grade test from the 1860s, you'll be highly embarrassed. Out of 25 questions, most intelligent people could only answer about 10 of them. And this was standard practice of what kids in the 1860s and 1870s were being taught in school, way advanced to what goes on here now. with our long lunch breaks and our little cars for everyone and all this kind of stuff. So we're that
call
possible.
It fluff. There's
yeah,
so
all
much
the fluff.
Fluff and nonsense being taught that is
exactly.
totally irrelevant.
Yeah, and not. And I'm not saying that good kids don't come out of this, because certainly the little Trump girl came out of this, and I'm sure she's got, you know, she's got friends. I actually saw a 12-year-old addressing a conference on environmentalism in South America from about 2014, and she was shaming the countries of the world for their poor performance in the environment. And it was just, it's the best if you can find it on the internet. This kid's like 12, 13, 14. We've got something waiting for you that's not a pleasant thing, okay? In the midst of being the change and taking charge of our lives and expressing ourselves, there's things going on in the world. Somebody actually stole my handicap placard, so I went down to DMV to get a new one last week, and I had a nice little hour and 45-minute wait, and they have little video screens up there. Guess what they were running on the video screens besides ads for other things? They were running ads from truckers who had gotten together, and this was being broadcast like about every 10 minutes about the level of child trafficking and human trafficking in the United States, and about how the truckers were the eyes and the ears of it. Well, this festering thing that's been going on for gosh knows how long, and gosh knows how many people have been involved in it. And I'm actually intentionally saying gosh, because it's the opposite of gosh. It's horrifying. I asked Mike to play a tape from Ashton Kutcher that I think he made. It's him in front of Congress, and he's actually the head of a child protection group, and he's reporting to Congress. So, Mike, if you would put that tape on for us, and then we'll comment on it afterwards. I wanted to build up your strength and your happiness before you deal. I want you to deal with what's going on here from a level of power, not just of horror, okay? So we can do something about this, and we can unite. So I don't want you to be a victim of what it is that you're about to hear. Go for it, Mike.
As part of my anti-trafficking work, I've met victims in Russia. I've met victims in India. I've met victims that have been trafficked from Mexico, victims in New York and New Jersey and all across our country. I've been on FBI raids where I've seen things that no person should ever see. I've seen video content of a child that's the same age as mine being raped by an American man that was a sex tourist in Cambodia. And this child was so conditioned by her environment that she thought she was engaging in play. I've been on the other end of a phone call from my team asking for my help because we had received a call from the Department of Homeland Security telling us that a 7-year-old girl was being sexually abused and that content was being spread around the dark web. And she had been being abused, and they'd watched her for 3 years, and they could not find the perpetrator, asking us for help. We were the last line of defense, an actor and his foundation.
Even as the mainstream media continues to malign Pizzagate and ignore Pedogate as fake news stories, recent news has broken that a massive child sex ring was busted in California, resulting in 474 arrests with 28 children saved. And this important news was completely ignored by the mainstream media. And while the mainstream Mockingbird media ignores the plight of human trafficking and the sex trade involving children, NBC News reported on its website that flight attendants were training to spot human trafficking prior to the Super Bowl. And according to Telesur, human trafficking, a friendly way of saying slavery, hit a record high in 2016 in the United States. Again, a fact the mainstream media goes out of its way to avoid. In fact, the mere mention of even the most cursory facts about the investigation known as Pizzagate can result in the discipline, demonization, or loss of a reporter's job, as Ben Swan, an investigative journalist at a CBS affiliate in Atlanta, recently demonstrated. The entire system, including the Department of Justice, seems to be aligned against the truth about human trafficking and pedophilia.
Well, we've already found a secret memo coming out of the Justice Department. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions, things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys, and making that legal.
Why are the powers that be in the United States so deathly afraid of the truth about Pizzagate being revealed? Because, as you are about to see, what's really going on globally is far worse and far darker than even what's been suggested so far by Pizzagate. And it's been practiced by some of the world's elite for centuries. As we've said repeatedly, Pizzagate is just the tip of the iceberg. In February's symbolic pics of the month from Vigilant Citizen, two extremely disturbing murals in the city of Brussels, Belgium, were showcased, literally appearing overnight, one depicting a young boy held down by a man holding a knife, and the other, even more disturbing, featured a gutted body hanging upside down, painted on the side of a high-rise residential building. And as Vigilant Citizen noted in his article, in the end, this quote-unquote art is a symptom of the toxic mind state that permeates society. However, I'd like to point out, I think there's something much more insidious going on here. Brussels is much more than just a city in Belgium. It's considered the de facto capital of the European Union, having a long history of hosting the institutions of the European Union within its European quarter. Brussels hosts the official seats of the European Council, the Council of the European Union, and European Council, as well as a seat of the European Parliament. As we have noted, it is the bureaucrats in Brussels that control the entire European Union.
People don't understand what the European Union is. They don't understand how it's governed. They don't know who are the people who are running it. But they know that they weren't chosen by the people.
And those very same bureaucrats have superseded the authority and will of the people. We find it quite alarming that these murals appeared in Brussels, given the elite's penchant for pedophilia and what more and more appears to be human sacrifice. When I first saw that mural, it reminded me of one of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And here's where things get really weird. In 2007, the movie Hostel Part 2 was released. It was directed by Eli Roth, and one of the production companies credited was Lionsgate. Hostel Part 2 is the story of three American college students studying abroad who are lured to a Slovakian hotel, only to discover the grim reality behind it. Each and one by one, the young students are lured away and soon find themselves in the bowels of a sadist nightmare where elite from around the world gather and pay huge sums of money to have their sickest, most sadistic fantasies come true, and always resulting in the murder of one of these kidnapped victims. And in one scene, one of the most graphic and disturbing sequences ever captured on film is to be found, and it depicts exactly what you see on that building in Brussels. In the death scene of Lorna, played by actress Heather Matarazzo, the young college student finds herself bound and gagged upside down over a large tiled bath. Soon, a beautiful elite woman enters, disrobes, and proceeds to slash the throat of Lorna and bathe in the blood of her victim. The film Hostel 2 is not only sick beyond belief, but there is a tie-in here between the production company of the film, Lionsgate, and child trafficking in Haiti and the Clinton Foundation. This link has been mentioned by George Webb specifically on Day 84, Part 2.
This is the old Mark Rich funnel. You're going to find Lionsgate, which is owned by Frank Giustra, is the funnel. It's the funnel from Frank and Carlos Slim straight through to the Clinton Foundation. This is the movie funnel. And I don't know if you remember, Lionsgate did all the ones where the girls had to run for their lives. Hunger Games, that's it. And if you read Kathy O'Brien's description of when she was, you know, told to just put a pair of tennis shoes on naked and run for her life, and then the guys ran after her and raped her, it's almost the plot of that movie.
Could it be that the elite around the world, in many cases, are just as sick and sadistic as the woman bathing in the blood of her victim in the movie Hostel Part 2? Because it reminds me of the story of Elizabeth Bathory, labeled by Guinness World Records as the most prolific female murderer. Bathory and four collaborators were accused of torturing and killing hundreds of young women between 1585 and 1609. The highest number of victims cited at Bathory's trial was 650. The stories of Elizabeth Bathory's serial murders and brutality are verified by the testimony of more than 300 witnesses and survivors, as well as physical evidence and the presence of horribly mutilated dead, dying, and imprisoned girls found at the time of her arrest. Stories which ascribe to her vampire-like tendencies. Most famously, the tale that she bathed in the blood of virgins to retain her youth. Born into a privileged family of nobility, Elizabeth was showered and endowed with wealth, education, and a stellar social position. Between 1602 and 1604, after rumors of Bathory's atrocities had spread throughout the kingdom, a Lutheran minister made complaints against her, both publicly and at the court in Vienna. Finally, in 1610, King Matthias II assigned Gheorghe Thurzu, the Palatine of Hungary, to investigate. Thurzo ordered two notaries to collect evidence in March 1610. The notaries collected testimony from more than 300 witnesses. According to all testimony, Bathory's initial victims were the adolescent daughters of local peasants, many of whom were lured to the castle by offers of well-paid work as maidservants in the castle. Later, she is said to have begun to kill daughters of the lesser gentry who were sent to her by their parents to learn etiquette. Two witnesses actually saw the Countess torture and kill young servant girls. According to the testimony of the two defendants, Elizabeth Bathory tortured and killed her victims not only at Sagette, but also at three of her other properties and elsewhere. In addition to the defendants, several people were named for supplying Elizabeth Bathory with young women, procured either by deception or by force. There are so many modern parallels to what we're seeing right now. Think Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile, far from being a lone predator, seemingly played an active role in supplying children to a network of child abusers in London.
Supplying children to the elite. Why are the powers that be trying so hard to cover up the truth about pedophilia and child sex trafficking? And more importantly, for those of us paying attention, are the elite telling us exactly what they're doing? Ritual satanic abuse and human sacrifice. The murder scene of the young college student in Hostel Part 2 is exactly what's depicted on the side of this building in Brussels, Belgium, and counted by the elite as art. Not only is Pizzagate just the tip of the global pedophile and satanic ritual sacrifice iceberg, what lies just below the surface is far more horrifying than most of us can imagine.
There are members of my family in the past that were part of this practice, and it was horrible for me to be brought up with this as one of the, I'm not going to say footnotes, we actually left Canada in the middle of the night to escape these practices. So I'm not just a casual observer putting this up for your interest. I'm letting you know that this has been going on for centuries, and I am letting you know that it must end now, and that this is probably the worst thing that could be revealed. I really can't imagine anything else. So you need to know from the light and the strength that we need to exhibit and work through in this current world, we are revealing the underbelly of something. I always called it the maggots, because once the maggots, which I find really disgusting, and when I find them in the trash barrel, if I empty them out and I put them on the ground, they disappear like they never existed. We can take these maggots and we can expose them to the light and we can make them disappear. What we have to do is we actually have to acknowledge the fact that the maggots are there so that the maggots can be removed. And I saw some terrible figures recently that between 30% to 50% of public officials, high-ranking public officials around the world, are actually a part of this practice. And Paul, Randy, is there anything you'd like to add here?
I'd like to jump in. Just his very first line, where he talks about the seven-year-old girl, is just gut-wrenching, and it just I will take you to your knees. How dare a man do that to a child?
Exactly.
Burn him to the ground when you find him. Burn him alive at the stake. Get rid of these scourges of society that walk amongst us and destroy the daughters. But his opening line is just gut-wrenching. Absolutely.
Yeah, I get it. I cried right along with him. It's a video. It's available. You can see it on the internet, and I think one of the reasons that it's still there is that the music plays, and I think that the machines or whatever that sort these things out so you don't get to see them, actually,
yeah,
that probably helps cover it or something of that nature. I think that's how it's lasted.
These men that go to these countries, I mean, red alert when they're going to these countries alone. There is, in my mind, one reason they go to these countries. Cambodia, Thailand, Philippines. I mean, seriously, what's it for? And these girls grow up and they get into the sex trade and they become strippers and they become hookers and prostitutes and they're absolutely destroyed. By the time they hit 20, they've been with 10,000 men.
Yep.
And it's horrible. It's just...
It is real. It's horrible. And the thing is, it's not even new. What's new is the fact that it's coming out. And what is new, I pray, and I pray this of all of you, that you recognize that this is possible, that you recognize that a lot of the political maneuvering that goes on in the world is to cover this up. David Icke talked about it many years ago. Paul, I'm sure you've got some contribution here. What would you like to throw in?
Well, you know, the depth of the depravity internationally is horrifying. You don't want to speculate wildly. But, you know, part of the speculation simply leads to the conclusion that in the upper echelons of the leadership, it's a well-kept secret. It's a very, very dirty little secret, not so little. And that without pointing fingers, you can conclude that so many of the leadership are themselves involved. And as a consequence... the cover-up extends from the leadership to the media to the whole superstructure of all of the countries involved, and it's a terrifying thought. In Los Angeles, in particular, Los Angeles is a hotbed of child pornography and certainly child trafficking, because there are so many homeless children that congregate in Los Angeles, partly because of the weather and partly because of the humanitarian approach taken by the city. Santa Monica, in particular, is one of those. So it's terrifying. But as you said, it's been going on for thousands of years. Some of the frescoes uncovered after the explosion and the lava flows of Mount Vesuvius depict. Pictorially, the abuse of young boys. There's nothing that shows young girls, but it's mostly young boys. But, you know, that was 2,000, 3,000 years ago. So, again, it's nothing new. It's simply the global proportions of the child abuse and pedophilia epidemic. The sacrificial aspect of young virgins goes back to Carthage. The Roman Empire fought against Carthage and the god Baal, B-A-A-L, and the god Baal expected human sacrifices of virgins. And during the Roman Empire's reign, the phrase was Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed, because the Romans themselves, even though they were perpetrators, realized that this had to be stamped out. So it's really terrifying. It's just terrifying, and how to come to grips with it is you know, one of the battles that has to be fought.
Well, this is the time, and I consider it special, actually, that we at this particular time actually have access to this information and can actually stand for it and to work with it. And what we need to do is handle the corruption of our leaders, however that works. Now, that can be done through community action. Excuse me. Got a little bit of throat gargle there. Part of what's happening here is that for the first time, these things are really being made to the general public. When it first came out to me, probably 10 years ago, I turned my head. Like, I was willing to acknowledge that it existed. I hadn't recovered all of my memories from the past, and over the years, different things that have happened to do that, to help me recover my memories of what happened in the basement, that kind of stuff. Okay, because my grandfather was a practicer of the black arts, and I saw things that as Ashton says, nobody should be forced to see, and I was actually able to block them. And it totally affected my life. It's actually, I had to speak out, but I was afraid to speak out. So interestingly enough, I chose radio, because that way I felt safer. And as you go through and you begin to look at yourself and why you've made the choices that you've made, you may find out that a lot of those choices were just made for your survival and for safety. And now it's time to take charge in the world. And we've talked about some really horrible things here. How can you handle it? How can you make yourself stronger? You can do things like what Paul is doing. He works with the dark side all of the time through his work. And yet, what are you going to be doing later this month, Paul? You're going to be running in the L.A. Marathon.
Well, you know, that's kind of a cleansing, cathartic kind of an activity.
Exactly, and we can all do that kind of thing. But it's not just cleansing and cathartic. I mean, I want to add to it, Paul. It's actually strengthening and powerful and invigorating, because we can't let the darkness own us. And if we buckle under this to our stuff and we start to limit ourselves and our situations, I'm putting something special in my life. I spent a lot of years, I'm 76, okay? And I've spent a lot of years working on bringing out the dark side and handling it. That's been my commitment. You can guess why. If that was happening in my cellar when I was a little kid, like under three, all this time, I've been a commitment to climbing out of this muck, all of us, not just me, but everybody here, everybody on the planet. One of the reasons people didn't buy Zimbabwe money in the first place was because of the atrocities. The global currency reset's a given. Who knows exactly what time it's going to happen, but it's a given. And in the beginning, people would not buy Zimbabwe currency because the rule of Zimbabwe was so brutal. What they didn't realize was that the rule of the rest of the world was brutal, too. The only place I think I know for sure that I feel this isn't going on is Iceland. Okay?
Yes, Iceland, definitely. There's a certain purity of the climate, you know, the sociocultural milieu, and part of it is because of the weather, and part of it is because of the Viking, the Nordic DNA.
Yeah, well, part of it is also how they teach their kids, okay? One of the things I did as soon as I found out about Iceland, I invited a man from Iceland on the radio show. And what Palmi Moore, I think. What Palmi said is that they're not taught to go into the military. They're taught to teach peace, and they're taught that in the schools. And it's not the Vikings, let me tell you, Paul, the Vikings are not exactly the least bloody people on Earth. I have a lot of Viking ancestry, and Vikings have been known to go around with battle axes just lopping heads off all over the place.
Oh, well, that was a territorial activity more than anything else.
That never happened in Iceland. They were never trained. There was no military. There was something like this. I had him on about four or five years ago. I think there had been one murder in Iceland in 50 years, something like that. They're not trained for it. We're trained for survival. We're trained to have a big military. We're trained to have more bombs than the other person has to show that we have the best. They're not. They're the total opposite. And because they are the total opposite, they don't have these pathways to power and greed that are available when egos are fighting. So from your hearts. I mean, I know, I'm sure you hear a lot of stuff about speaking from your heart, but look into your heart today.
It's more than just being trained, you know. It's a matter of massive socio-political conditioning.
Exactly.
And the United States, because of the extent of media exposure of the populace, is probably number one in terms of that kind of socio-political conditioning. The rest of Europe, you know, simply follows suit, but it's just simply terrifying. I think the wall of pedophiliac silence has to be broken.
It is being broken right now as we speak, and we're breaking it. And so is Ashton, and so is Congress. I like Trey Gowdy. I like him a lot. It's happening all over the place. It is being broken. So for the first time, this massive systemic, I want to say pimple, but it's way more than that. It's a cesspool of evil is being exposed to the sunlight. And when you hear people telling you it didn't happen or you don't hear it in the media, you start demanding that you want to hear what's going on and what is the truth about it. And what's his face on CNN? That's not Wolf Blitzer, I'm taking it. What's his name? What's the other guy on CNN, Randy? Cooper, Anderson Cooper?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, what do you have to say about him? Or do you? I don't trust that man for a second.
No, not at all.
Anderson Cooper is, you know, a very, very subtle and very manipulative presenter. I'm going to call him a presenter. His mother is and was a very, very famous journalist, and he came out of the closet, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago. But you know, it's kind of a love-hate situation between his viewers and his listeners. He has good moments and he has bad moments, but he's not on my list of favorite announcers.
So who do you think is the most manipulative announcer on air today, in your opinion?
Rachel Maddow.
Okay.
Really? That's interesting.
Say more about that.
We can start with Rachel Maddow, then we can jump to Morning Joe and his, I think, comrade in arms, the short blonde-haired woman, Brzezinski. What she said yesterday was stunning and outrageous in connection with the wiretapping.
What'd she say?
But that it just never happened, and that the Obama administration was so pure of heart that it was an impossible kind of an accusation to consider that it would ever happen. And the whole collusion between CNN, MSNBC, and the moderators of the various debates never really took place.
It's kind of like the Holocaust never happened.
Yeah, so I turned it off and went out and did a run.
And other folks, if you get sick of what you're listening to, start going out and planting a garden in spring. I'm looking around the garden and I'm thinking I need to see things growing and happy and healthy here. So if you live in an apartment with a little deck on it, get yourself a couple of pots, put some flowers out there, do something. Create something that's actually growing and rich and wonderful, and we'll use these guys as fertilizer because they're muck, okay? And the muck is being revealed. And this whole thing about the wiretapping, it's so obvious. They've even admitted it. They admit it and then they take it back. I sit around and I watch lots of tapes, thanks to Ron and my other contributors, and they have them on tape admitting that they've done it, and then they later say they didn't do it, which brings up another issue I was noticing. They're now playing a thing where Trump said this, and then Trump said that. Trump said this, and Trump said that. They're opposite sides. And I thought, oh, God, that's really not too good. And then I started laughing because I've seen them on Barack Obama. I've seen them on Hillary Clinton. I've seen them on Bill Clinton. And they may not all be subterfuge. They may be actually people changing their mind. but it's being they're being put together in such a way that the L.A. Times, which I'm almost I've written the L.A. Times a letter telling them that I've lost respect for Gary Trudeau and that I didn't have that much respect for them in the first place, but now it was almost entirely gone because they couldn't find one good thing to say about Trump and all this other stuff. So I've gotten a letter back from the L.A. Times saying that they're considering my conversations, but it felt good to get it out of my system because the L.A. Times is just so slanted. It's not that Trump ever does something that could be improved on, in my opinion. I've got some opinions about things he does, too. But I see the directions the man is going in, and I like to see what he would do if he was given a chance. So I'm engaged.
No president in history threw the enormous amount of energy into his first 50 days than Trump, and quite likely no president again ever will. He has absolutely no axes to grind. He doesn't need to do any of this. He's doing it because of his love of country.
And he created something like 298,000 jobs in February. How's that, Obama? Oh, by the way, Obama and Hillary call me now regularly.
Absolutely, absolutely. The list is literally endless, and unfortunately, the demonization and vilification of Trump will never come to an end.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because one cool thing you may not have heard, he's actually been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And unlike Obama, I think he actually deserves it. I was horrified when they gave Obama the Peace Prize, and I knew that he was bombing.
Oh, that was, I was stultified, you know. I have to catch my breath.
What was that about?
What it was about was trying to manipulate stuff. But what I want to focus on, the fact is that I saw a picture of Trump after he'd been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, you know, that's wonderful. The Peace Prize to Baraka, as he's been called in certain circles, was simply a really shoddy attempt at giving him credibility that he never had and still doesn't have. I was shocked.
You know how they took that? Remember when they? Well, you may not remember, but they took back from Jim Thorpe, All-American, some prize for running because he played in a game for money. I don't know if you remember that story or not, but it really got me going. I think he got paid $15 for playing in a baseball game or something, and he'd won the gold medal. They took it back. So why don't we see if we can get the Peace Prize taken back from Barack Obama? That'd be worth it to me, boy. I'd put some energy into that.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted to hear from you that Trump has been nominated for the Peace Prize.
I hope it wasn't false news. That's the other thing, you guys, because I look at all this stuff, and if I see something I like, of course I believe it. And here's a picture of him smiling with something gold partially around his neck. So, but it could be false news, you know. And I started to think about, well, I listen and I do probably 50 tapes a week, something like that. And I am sure that in that 50 tapes, I take on some false news. I'm sure we all do.
Sure, sure.
But the thing is, you know, if I'm going to take on false news, I'm going to take on the news I like, okay? So I totally like the idea of Trump being awarded the Peace Prize. I like the idea of the 294,000 jobs in February. I don't think Barack Obama did that in a year, ever. It's like...
We have yet to see the complete
we have
flowering
one. We don't
his
have anything
energy.
Left to see, because it's time to say, we'll tune in with us next week. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our partners, CloningCompany.com, Happily200, HeavenIncorporated.com, Dr. James Edward, Dr. Joel Wallach, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene, Carol Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Agent X, Terry Cole Whitaker, David R., descendant of King David, Edward F. Group III, And Dr. Val with Dr. Saul spelled out, thanks to Paul Sebrag for leaving us your daughter to continue your work. A big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Fedard, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackler, our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, our research director, Ron Hayes, to John Young and Totally Gospel. A big thanks to our friendship over the years. A big thanks to Joseph Chung, merci beaucoup, to Bette Michael for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Thanks to you all for being here. We'll be back next week, and do a good deed today. Maybe do two or three. See if you can hit 10 for a week. It feels really good.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.